Live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
Welcome to Point of View. My name is Pimelo Mutine. Thank you so much for being with us. So because it's our Wednesday edition of Point of View, we're going to have Ntabiseng Ndubazana here. And today we're going to be speaking about parental rights termination. So how do you lose your rights as a parent? So she'll have a conversation about that. Obviously, this is stemming from a case that has just happened and that she will take us through. So we'll have that conversation. Lots of people are panicking about those electricity meters being cut off, so the deadline is looming and they are very, very unhappy. We'll speak to Eskom as well, but we stay here with the story. As you know, we've been talking about Stilfontein for a while now, but it's an ongoing story, so we will try and give you some updates. We'll try and bring in as many voices as possible so that we have a fuller picture of what's actually happening and try and be as balanced as possible. The Northwest Police spokesperson Sabata Mokgwabone is on the line with us this evening. Thank you very much, Brigadier Mokgwabona, for making time for us. Good evening and welcome.
Thank you, Pamelo, and good evening to you and listeners.
Brigadier Mokgwabona, just maybe an update on your side. We obviously are waiting to hear an update regularly from yourselves about the operation. We believe it's now kicked into another phase of the operation. Tell us where you're at the moment.
Yeah, no, we are moving. Remember that after the ministerial visit, a committee was established under the chairpersonship of the NEC for Community Safety and Transport Management. So they came up with an implementation plan, which was implemented as from yesterday, where we saw the mine rescue team doing the groundwork, and then today they started with the clearing of the site. So we are hopeful that the next phase will continue in due course. So that's where we are at this stage.
Mm-hmm. You spoke of a mine rescue team. There was, a committee that was put together from what the minister had said that included community members. Is that still in place?
Yes, that is the very same team which I said is under the chairpersonship of the MEC for Community Safety and Transport Management. Mm.
We are obviously getting some reports now, this may not be representative of the people that you are engaged with, that they've been asked to step back a little bit. Just maybe give us an update on that. The community has been asked to give you space.
No, I'm not aware of that. As far as I know, is that those people who were part of the team, mm-hmm. or they are still part of the team, unless maybe they decided to step back. Mm-hmm. There was no way that they could be left out, because even the minister addressed them or engaged them Friday last week. So we are still expecting to work with them, okay, until the first time the operation is completed. So unless maybe there could be, or there's maybe misunderstanding, sure, or any other thing that I'm not aware of, but as far as I'm concerned, they are part of the operation. It won't be everybody, but sure, some of the community leaders, they are part of that committee.
Are you at liberty to tell us, you know, how the operation will be conducted? We were told about perhaps a crane sort of kind of mechanism, a cage type of mechanism, where not only one person will be brought up, but maybe more than a handful of people. Are you at liberty to tell us that?
I'm not at liberty to tell you. I think maybe once the operation is underway, the nine operation team, mm-hmm. will be in a position to explain exactly what is going to happen, because they are the ones who will be responsible for operating those machines. They are the ones who know how those machines operate. But the intention or the plan is to use such machines to assist us in making sure that we bring up those that are underground.
When was the last time someone came up?
It was on Sunday.
Oh, okay.
It was on Saturday. So nothing happened on Monday, because remember there was also a court order,
yes,
in the process. which also but anybody from either entering the shaft except the emergency personnel. So as a result, everything stopped. So we are only working now under the
rescue team,
which is responsible for the mine rescue team. Yeah.
If I understand you correctly, right now what's happening is that there are assessments being done. The actual rescue mission itself has not started yet.
Yes, the actual rescue mission has not yet started because actually, like I said, that we did or they did the groundwork, they did the clearing of the sites. Accordingly, the next stage is supposed to be the assessment of the place itself.
So, again, just for clarity, in this team are emergency services, yourselves as the police, the community members, the technical mine rescue teams, and who else?
Yeah, remember we also have DMRE.
Yes,
we also have health, Department of Health officials. We also have Home Affairs. Yeah, quite a number of role players that are also part of the team.
Oh, so they're all there
but,
too.
I was just mentioning the most critical ones.
Yes. When are we likely to see the actual operation happen?
Like I said, I'm not in a position now to can indicate the exact commencement of the operation, but we are expecting to that information will be communicated in due course.
All right. I really appreciate you giving us your time this evening. Northwest Police spokesperson Sabata Mokwabone just giving us an update on where they are at the moment with that rescue plan. And as things stand, it's just they're at a phase where they're doing assessments. And obviously, when they are sort of ready to start the operation, we'll obviously keep you updated. We wanted to also hear from the communities themselves who are giving us, you know, different information as well. And as the Brigadier said earlier, you will get different information because not everybody is represented there. So let's try and speak to community leader in Stilfontein, Johannes Kankase, who has been listening, I believe, to the Brigadier. Thank you so much, Johannes, for making time for us. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening. How are you, ma'am?
I'm well. Thank you so much for talking to us, Johannes.
So it seems like you have a misunderstanding.
Yes.
It's Colin.
It's not Johannes.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so let's maybe get your right name. Okay, I'll just stick to Colin because I know that there's an issue with surnames and all of that.
Yes, ma'am. That's from underground.
Yes, I understand. Colin, you are a community member? Or are you also a community member, or are you also a miner? Do you mine yourself?
No, I'm a community member. Man.
You're a community member. From yes, your side, how are the rescue operations going?
I'd like to say, first of all, good evening to everyone listening to this station. Up to so far, everything that happened, as you see on TVs and newspapers, that the operations are happening here in Stilfontein, shaft number 3. Mm-hmm. Up to so far, as a community leader, I'm very disappointed because of we had an arrangement that what we are doing there, we are saving lives. Mm-hmm. We went there to police. And the person in charge of the operations, we told them that, okay, we are here to help assist you because no one can stand on law. We have the law has to take it, its own course. So we can't stand on that. We can't defend it. We have to help them rescue lives and everything. But now it seems as if the community has been left behind.
In what way, Colin?
in a situation where we find out that we didn't have the hope to rescue more lives from yesterday and today.
Mm-hmm.
But now the government is busy there trying to solve the situation, bring in the cages and something. We don't interrupt that. But now it seems as if they're no longer involved in everything here.
So the brigadier was saying that there are community members that are part of their team. Are you saying that's not the case?
No, we are not part of that team because of now we are left behind. They don't allow us access there to the bus anymore.
So is there no community member who's in that team?
Now what I can see from now, ma'am,
mm-hmm.
the things have changed.
Okay. And when you say the team has changed, you are saying you no longer have representation in the new team.
If we say we are a team, we are working together.
Mm-hmm.
We must go there all together like we started this project. But now when you draw the line that I have to end up here, mm-hmm. and then I no longer have access to go that side, that means I'm no longer part of the team.
So at the moment, you have now been asked to move from where you were and to give them space.
Yes, ma'am. As they are busy. They said that they bring the expert team there mm-hmm. to work on the project. We don't have a problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
We fully support that because we don't have knowledge in the mining or something.
Yes.
They have the right to bring the expertise to work on that thing. But also, we have to come back to us and inform us what is what and what is happening. Not just to stop us as if we didn't participate at all in the first place.
Hmm. Are you one of the people that was underground, Colin?
Yes, ma'am. I'm from underground.
You are from underground.
And the situation there underground is very bad. As you are busy wasting time here, as I say, ma'am, I'm from Colin. I'm coming from Mpumalanga.
Hmm. When did you come up from underground?
I came up on that rescue team they bring up.
When was that? Last week?
Yeah, it was last week.
Last week.
No, it was this week. You know, the problem is that I can't be specific with the day because when we come out from underground,
mm-hmm.
we are really confused. Remember that we had no food, we had no water. Now, when I come up, I don't know what is the day and what is what. Now, when I come up, they just question me. This person will come here, he wants answers from me. And the other person will come up and want answers from me. So remember that I'm from underground. I'm not well.
How long were you underground for, if I can ask?
I've been underground for 2 to 3 months.
And when
I left, it was on, what was this, July, end of July, I went underground.
And when did you stop getting food and supplies?
I think I'm about, when I came underground,
mm-hmm.
I think I didn't even get there for 2 weeks.
Mm.
And then there was no, the rope was no longer working.
Mm. And how long had you been doing this work for?
I've been here on this work for a long time. I think I've finished my matric 2010.
And straight from matric, did you work in a company or you were straight from matric?
I used to work these jobs there by Emalahleni.
In a mine?
No, Emalahleni, it was just these jobs from Pepsto.
Okay.
And what was this company? That one is selling pamphlets.
Sure.
House to house.
Yeah. How did you get into this industry?
I was busy posting CVs looking for a job. Mm-hmm. And then as I was busy checking the newspapers, Daily Sun or something, and then I found their post at this site of Clerkdorp. So I came to this site for interview. Since I've been here for interview, and then they promised me a job, I ended up staying here in Clerkdorp. With crashing there on taxi ranks, just waiting for those calls so that I can get a job or something, get back. Mm-hmm. And then I ended up getting a job there by Clerkdorp. Mm-hmm. It was also a key job of newspapers. I also went to Chubby Cheek in Pochettstroom. Mm-hmm. I did part-time there on Chubby Cheek in Pochettstroom. Mm-hmm. So I ended up here in this area. And then, you know, when you go out, we meet with people, and then you end up going out, having drinks, and then those people, they will introduce you to this kind of job, that this money you are getting is what, and then come here, maybe you can get a permanent job, work for yourself, for your family, and something. That's when I ended up in this mining industry.
So you knew from the word go that, yes, I'm getting into this, but you knew it was illegal, and it was upfront. So nobody told you a lie. You knew this was an illegal operation.
That time I started this thing, they told me that, yeah, we are going to ZAMO.
Okay.
There is no paper you're going to fill up like the way you went to Chavichi. You know, you end up signing a contract. Maybe they take you for 3 days there by Chavichi. Mm-hmm. Or let's say maybe they take you for a weekend, Saturday and Sunday, and you know that Sunday when you knock off, you get paid this much. Because that time I was working on Chevy, it was a 70 rand per day. So I knew that when I knock off on Sunday, I used to work Saturday and Sunday, I know I get my 140. Mm. So when I went to that thing, they told me, yeah, there is no arrangement or agreement on what you will get.
Did you have any experience in mining?
Not at all. As a contract person, ngakhuluma ngamaZulu.
Yeah, ungasikhuluma isiZulu ba.
Yeah, njengomuntu osebenza ama contract, yazi uma uphuma ku matric uthola ukuthi endlela kunalutho okwenzakala. Njengomuntu bengiloku ngihamba nabantu bakha ama RDP. Akhama bonda for abantu bathi zing. Benginayo experience for sure. So bangitshelile ukuthi lapha kusebenza for sure. So ngathi hayi, ngoba i-for sure into engiyazi ngizoyisebenza.
Okay. Ma ufika ke watholani lapha phansi?
Ngathola kugcwele lapho ke kwabo omkhulu, nyakanyaka, abantwana abancane, abantu abalingana nami. Kugcwele nje omunye nomunye umuntu bezama nje itorholake ukuthi aziphilele.
La bantu bowusebenza nabo bona bebenzani? Bebekuphethe noma beyozisebenzela nje wena?
La bantu bengisebenza nabo bangitshelile ukuthi njengoba uthi wena umusha kulo msebenzi. Kalikho laziyo ngegolide. Wena into yakho ukuthi nje ubheke ukuthi sinasenzani. Uma uceda lapho. Faso zozibhekele yakho indawo zishayele. Ngoba ngaba nomuntu ukuthi umuntu engisuka naye endaweni eyi-one emaculu le eMpumalanga. But hayi ngoba ngakithi hayi azivele sincengisane ngoba umfowethu loke ngiloku ngibhizi naye sebenza naye umuntu okuthi akasekho ngaphambi kwami. Ike wayesebenza kwenye ishaft ngoba indawo lapha beziningi imayini lezibozindawo.
Yazameka kodwa impilo.
Impilo yazameka ngoba besikhona ukuthi uma ngiphuma bengikhona ukuthi ngifike endlini ngithengele umama, ngithengele ubaba, ngithengele abantwana basekhaya impahla, ngiphinde futhi ngithenge ukudla. Ngiphinde uma ngithi ngiyabheka futhi ngishiye kancane nokuthi nami ngikhona ukujikajika ngishaye one etaveni. Bese uma ngiceda ngenzani, awuqedi nesikhathi, after uma 3 weeks or inyanga kumele futhi uhambe uyozala ngoba ibudget ayifuneki kumele uyise abantwana esikolweni thola ukuthenzela kunamntu osebenza eputa ngoba umuntu lo oyaziyo ukuthi kibo kuyasetyenzwa kushap wekaye kuleya ndawo ngoba kukho mnandi into indaba okuqala wehla ngentambo urisa ngempilo yakho I understand. Like, as community to the sharpings of faith. But if you want to put my wishes right, yeah, we will land down over like a good simple.
Imalia corner water. Ibenjani.
No, Imalia corner being born or with Luna last event around 140 and the college championship. Then Connor to the human Pumana, but then you know, it's 5,000. Sometimes I'm paying like 6,000. That's not fun.
Leo, 6,000 wins a mauka to Puma. Mtambe, usually 3 months la papans.
Yeah, come again, you see, move to Spaning and Alan. If I see Kobaninga, those 6,000 can come to years in a month.
Okay.
Yeah. But if you tell him to learn, I will shasha will. California or Calipig, which all would die. There are 6,000 in Sahasa and 2 months or 3 months. Hey, Baba Guambe in the one to Zambas, and so that's when I'll surrender.
Yeah. Tell me now, you put Linda Bell Puma Naiko Paganjan would Puma Bani Nini.
No, in the book Puma, I want you to go it. Mungenene na kuzamela impilo akuzama uthola wena so right usofuna ukuphuma uma ufuna ukuphuma yakuphi yakhona la kunentambo khona time na seng right like lento engiyiphethe ngilingeka ukuthi ngaphilisa umndeni so ngicela ukuphuma kulapho ke kunabafowethu lapho abaphuma eZimbabwe abaphuma eSuthu abaphuma eBotswana sangahlangene nje lapho eMzambini yonke inyaka nyaka abafowethu umsebenzi wabo ukuthi benzeni basilande lesikhona ngamandla wabo basibuyise la intambo ikhona soke kanjalo ukuthi senzani sisebenzisana nabo abafowethu benzeni basikhuphule manje kwanjwa ngelist ngeke ukhuphuke uweqa omunye umuntu omthola kuphi elayinini
okay ke le operation le yokuvala umgodi yaqala ke masenphuma khona manje njengoba niqeda ukuphuma manje naphuma kanjani na decide kanjani ukuthi kuphuma bani kusala bani
operation le uvala umgodi ne uma iqala ukuthi isebenze intambo yehle like sinesikhathi intambo ingeshi yasekene so akekho umuntu yazi ukuthi le ntambo le yehla kanje intambo yalabo abafowethu belokusebenzisa nabo ukuthi umuntu uzobamba impilo yami ayibeke phezulu kahle okanye umuntu nje ufuna ukudlala ngempilo zethu so umuntu ke entambeni umuntu lo ebethi ha mina sengifuna ukubona umndeni wami ayibona sengifuna ukuthi ngezeli ngengaphandle kodwa ukuthi abanye inkinga abanye abantu bagula and manje kwenzakalani lengaphandle asifani singabantu imizimba yethu ayifani kunabantu abathatha ukugula abanye abakuthathi
I'm going to go to the house.
Ukuthi nje intamba ikhona ukuthi ifasa abantu abawuphindwa abawuphindwa ngisikhathi sizonke. Aba basahlezi balinde isikhathi sabo ukuthi intamba ifike bakuthi. Ngoba ayisekho nje into esiyenzayo phansi akuzona lutho. Into ekhona phansi abantu abafile, abantu abagulayo, yiyo nje inkinga le indlala. Kuthi kube ngaphandle isimo siyabhedwa.
So mani baningi nifuna ukuphuma njengoba intambo ingasayehli na decide kanjani ukuthi ubani ozokhuphuka ngoba ngithemba ukuthi abaningi bafuna ukukhuphuka manje or abafuna ukukhuphuka mhlawumbe
aku decide lapha phansi uma nje intambo yehle yabona njengoba uhleli uma uvuka ekuseni
yebo
uma uvuka nje kuya ngokuthi ubani
uye ubhekile ngoba siyahlala silinda intambo utho ngezokuthatha uhleli ngathi intambo yethu lapho uhleli khona ukhathele ulambile awunamandla kwenzeka sometimes uzuni yokuthongo lapho khona ukuthongo obukuzumile ulele leso sikhathi mina ngibhekile wasi intambo yehla uma yehla lesikhwehle nebhanti into engiyenza ukuqala mina wenzani ukugcoka isikhwehle wasi bhanti la emzimbeni uma sengiyifasile ngeke usalithatha ngoba nami ngifuna uwaphansi
okay ma ubhekile ke wena bayafuna ukuphuma abantu
abantu bayafuna ukuphuma phansi bonke akeke umuntu ongafuna ukuphuma phansi
abasasaba ukuboshwa ngoba amaphoyisa abaphoyisa abalindile manje
akekho umuntu nje othi ngaphansi usaba ukuboshwa abantu bayafuna ukuyiphumela nje umuntu ayiphumele nje ngoba lapha phansi lapha kuhlangahlangene nabantu abanengane zabo kunabantu banemndeni yabo kunabantu abashiye umama babo kuhlangahlangene phansi wonke umuntu ufuna ukuphuma
impilo injani khona manje ngoba so phula
kunabantu abokuthi ngaphansi le abasanamandla umuntu akakhona ukubamba intambo manje okhona ukubamba intambo wenzani unyathela lo ongakhona ukubamba intambo amgibele phezulu bayacabanga nje ukuthi into enjalo yi kudi kiosk le ngaphansi kudi
Sibonge kakhulu Colin, sibonge kakhulu, siyabonga ngempela kakhulu ukuthi ukhume nathi. Awungitsheleke mawuphuma wena. Waboshwa amaphoyisa.
Cha bangithatha la. Mhm. Ngabatshela mina ukuthi mina ilona ngumuntu orangiphelele zonke izinto zesikole. Impepha kho. Bathi bangithemba sambe siye kuphi e-police station. Bazuza abantu bakho nempepha. Banginikeza icingo ku-telephone. Bafona impepha zafika bafike bangidedela lesitilfontini but bangidedela sinokufonela uma sekudinga
njengoba uphumile manje angithi bafuna ukuvala lwa mgodi uzoyenze njani uzophila ngani
mabavale umgodi kodwa njengoba ngisho ngithi matric nayo ne degree nayo mabangizamela umsebenzi abawuvala umgodi akusinje but abanginika umsebenzi la ngizobambela khona itoko lokuthi uphilise ifamily yami uphilise ingane zami ngoba njengoba ngikhuluma kunje bonke abantu abasenzima akekho osebenzayo le yodwa nje besebenza la belokhu ebamba komba khona bagcina avale ikhampani yakhona khona manje asisasebenzi nje sonke so uma bevala lapha ngoba wonke umndeni njengoba kudisemba bebebhekile ukuthi hayi ngizophuma bangifika endlini ngithenga ukudla ngithenga abantwana impahla ngithenga nezukulwane impahla benjengoba lethi bona bavala akusinkinga leyo ngeke sisuhulumeni kodwa oyesikuphela nje ukubhoda ukuthi mabavale ngapha basinde imisebenzi
ngibonge kakhulu baba siyabonga sibonga isikhathi sakho
ngibonge mina
That is the voice of Colin, who is an illegal miner who's just resurfaced from that mine as we've been watching the story. When I come back, I'm going to be speaking to another colleague of theirs, I believe is a community leader too, just to give us an update on how this rescue operation is going. We continue looking into what is happening in Stilfontein. As I said, we'll bring in different voices. And look, your voice is also important. Your take on what we've been hearing. 086-000-959. Now, I'm going to speak to, this time, Johannes, who is a community leader. Johannes, thank you so much for your time. Good evening and welcome.
Well, thank you very much. Good evening to the viewers and the listeners.
Johannes, I'm so sorry we got your names and everything mixed up, but I appreciate you making your time, making time for us this evening. Give us an update on how the rescue mission is going as we speak.
No, thank you very much. My name is Johannes Pankase. I'm one of the local concerned community leaders from Kuma. Yes, today we went outside from there. When we arrived there, we got the issue that the rescue mission team is already on site. Mm-hmm. It's already on site, but yesterday when we left the place, we agreed that there must be a communication that must go down so that the people underneath, they can know that the operation has commenced.
Mm-hmm.
But to our surprise, as much as we sent a letter down there, but there was no response from there. That's why we spoke to some of the official law enforcement agents, officials, that how about we send a person that we can communicate with the message directly. You see, from there, we'll get a response to know what needs to happen, if people receive the message or not. But that did not happen. But today, when we arrived at the site, we met with one of the operation manager from the subs, who told us they are starting now. And for now, for us as the community leaders, we are not allowed to go inside. As much as the order of the police has stated very clearly that non-emergency personnel, they will not be allowed to get inside there. Of which we've agreed to that. But one that amazed us, we are members of the committee, the committee that was established by Minister Senzo Mchunu. So, yeah, from tomorrow morning, we must go to the site and just ask the leadership that how come we don't even understand what is happening? Because we must also even see how far is the process, how far are those people have done, because we've seen raiders and some front loaders happening, working inside there. But for now, we don't have any info as committee members from the committee that was established by the minister.
Mm-hmm.
But for now, what I can say to you, they started to work today, mm-hmm. but we don't know how far they are, because we are watching from far. We are watching from far. Even now, we cannot be able to give any community some response, that of which, how far is the process, what is happening, when the people are going to be arrested from that, because now we are standing far from the site.
Okay. Even as you've been asked to step aside and allow the rescue teams, technical rescue teams, to do this, is there no one giving you feedback? Is there no one, you know, just supposed to come and tell you this is an update, this is what they're doing now, this is when they'll be going down? Is that not happening?
No, for now, the testing doesn't fit in. Mm. You must understand, the police are just outside watching, sitting in their vans. Nothing we are getting, you see. But we thought it's very important for us as the leaders tomorrow to get a proper answer of what's going to happen. But now you must understand one thing. We are community leaders. We have our volunteers who've worked there. We've rescued people, whether people they like it or not. We as the volunteers, as the community members, we have rescued people. Even if they said that this thing that we used, it was dangerous and very risky. But that same way, we managed to rescue 11 lives, and we managed to resurface one body, you see. Mm-hmm. But now we cannot stand in the way of the law. We cannot stand in the way of the law. We cannot mm-hmm. stand in the way of the country.
Mm-hmm.
The minister given a mandate. That mandate must be followed. We are following the mandate, but now we must understand, as much as we are part and parcel of the community, what is it that will be able to report back to the community if ever we are not taking on board of what is happening within the site?
Johannes, what do you want to see happen? I understand you want to be part of the rescue mission, part of the rescue team. That's not happening. It doesn't look like it. The police said to us that you are, but we can leave it there. What going forward do you want to see happen? Tomorrow, for instance, what do you want to see happen?
No, when as soon as possible, what do you want to see? We want to see people be rescued. Because you must understand one thing, our mandate is one. Let's save lives.
Do you not trust the technical team that's been put together?
No, it's not a matter of trusting. It's not like we don't trust the team that was put by there. You must remember, that team that was put there, they were experts.
Yes.
So we expect everything, the experts that are bringing, it must be 100%.
Mm-hmm.
You see? Yeah, we are not disrespecting or disregarding them as if they are not going to do their work.
Mm.
But we must also be informed of what is happening so that we can go back. You must understand one thing, the lives that are saved there are the lives of the people of which we as community leaders stood for them. Because if ever we never took that initiative to stand for those people, such things will not be happening now. You see, we respect the law enforcement agency, we respect our government with the process that they are doing. But they must also take us on board. But up to so far, we are here. Up to so far, the Mela. Because even in the first place, we said this operation of Valam God, it was wrong in the first place, because you did not keep up Bantu and Vala. You just stand there and Vala. How about the lives that are underneath there? What we are fighting for, what we are busy with now, is the issue of saving lives only, period.
Mara Jonas, I mean, were they going to come out just because they were being asked to come out?
No, they don't.
Let's be fair now. I mean, I say to you, stop what you're doing. Come out now. I want to vala. Do you think they were going to listen?
No, they just no problem. My point of view, as the committee members, as the leaders, they managed to come out because there was no time that we sent a rope underneath, and no one came out. Even we had an information that they were fighting for a rope, but everyone wanted to resurface. We sent a rope 11 times. There was never a single time that the rope came into without a person. You see? So there's no that statement from the government that those people, they don't want to resurface.
No. I hear what you're saying. What I'm asking is that you are saying the order was supposed to be, they were supposed to be asked to leave first and then Svarumkoti. I'm saying, at the beginning, do you think that was going to happen? No, I don't believe that asking them was going to happen. I think it's a different situation.
No, I think you misinterpreted my statement.
Oh, okay.
What I'm saying, even if you evict a person lawfully, you must give a person a notice. If ever our government gave those people a notice that Pumani siyavala, No, the operation is from the government. Mm-hmm. It's operation Valam Good.
I understand. I'm saying there's intelligence underneath there. Did they not know?
No, we don't know that thing. But what we are fighting for now is that people are underneath there. See? Because that's our main objective. See, that's our main interest, that there are people there trapped. That's why today the government they said they were not trapped. They did not want to go out, but yet themselves there's a rescue team. You cannot rescue someone who's not trapped. They rescue someone who does not have any means of help. That's why today when they announced it's a rescue team. How can you rescue someone who's not trapped? That's why we said people are trapped there because they have only one exit point, entrance point. Now let's assist them to resurface. You see, from there we'll let the law take its course.
So, Jonas, we are here now. What are you hoping is going to happen come tomorrow? Do you think the rescue team is slow? Is that the feeling that the community has?
No, for now, we cannot disrespect or we can take any conclusion on the rescue team. Because we've just started yesterday, but in our minds, we have 2 days lost. Because in that 2 days, we as the people who are assisting with the volunteers of the community, pulling people with the rope, we should have maybe like now, 10 or 5 people. You see? But we have hope and trust in our government. But we'll just wait and see. We are patient. We are patiently waiting. Yeah. But our main objective and what we want to see people being saved, being resurfaced. From there, they will be dealt with by the law enforcement accordingly. We are not against that thing.
Yes. Appreciate you giving your update. Thank you very much. A community leader there in Stilfontein, Johannes Kankase, and he's telling us their side of the story and how they feel that they've been left out. Listening into that conversation is attorney, lawyer for human rights, Mametlo Sibeya, and we're actually going to take a quick break first before we go to him so that we don't interrupt that conversation.
George.
All right, thank you so much for staying with us as we continue trying to unpack what is happening at Stilfontein. The many, 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 many faces to the story, many layers to the story, many perspectives to the story. We'll try and bring you as much as we can. The Lawyers for Human Rights have produced a document, and it's called Impact and Assessment of Improper Mine Closures in South Africa. And this is the most important part. It's a community perspectives on human rights. I think that's, for me, the key here. And I do have an attorney there, Mametlo Sibeya. Thank you so much for making time for us this evening and maybe trying to give us a perspective that we don't usually touch on. Thank you very much for your time. Good evening and welcome.
A pleasure to be here. I'm good to join you.
So you've obviously been watching, like all of us, what's happening at Stilfontein. Unpopularly, some of us have been asking the question, let's start at the very beginning of this problem. And for me, it's an operating mine that is, we believe, we don't have the facts because nobody's giving them to us, was abandoned. And it's like many, many others. And criminals, unemployed people, the works decided to go into this mine and do what they need to do. What's actually happening here? How prevalent is this?
Well, the recent auditor's report shows that it's about 6,100 abandoned mines that are considered derelict and ownerless. Of that, that includes over 2,300 mines that contain a very high risk minerals that are not undergoing any rehabilitation, despite the state committing to rehabilitate some of those, and they've only allocated a pitiful amount that has been devoted solidly to asbestos mine that pose a much greater risk.
Mm.
Now, this problem, government wants everybody to believe that it has to do with the previous legal dispensation that governed the mining industry, that before the current Minerals and Petroleum Resources Development Act, that is MPRDA, that was passed, I think, in 2002, that there was no requirement for closure. Now, that cannot be far. I mean, there can be nothing far from the truth than that.
Mm.
The reality is the regulation and requirement for rehabilitation actually is over a century in this country.
Mm-hmm.
What people must remember is that even the Boer Republics were state organizations of farmers, right? So with the commencement of industrial mining, they had to take legislative and policy measures to protect their core constituencies, which was the farming community that obviously was threatened by the mining and its impact on the land and the environment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So that legislative and regulatory framework has only been strengthened decade after decade. But let's also just say what has been happening beyond MPRDA. Between 2011 and 2016, because government wants you to believe that this problem is not continuing beyond that them passing that legislation. Between 2011 and 2003, there was 803 closure certificates that were issued, right? Only 27 of that 803 were actually a mining right, were closure certificates for mining rights. So the rest was for, you know, mining permits for small scale, you know, short term, you know, mining and of course prospecting.
Wait. Let's process this, because I think that's where the number of the story is. We have currently 6,100 mines that are derelict, that are just left abandoned. We have got 803 certificates that have been issued, but only 27. So in other words, 27 have been issued to real mining companies. That's what you're saying. Only 27.
That is not even the shocking part.
Okay.
It's not the shocking part.
Mm.
Of the 27 that were issued, 20 were issued in Western Cape, where there is no mining
yes.
for any of, you know, there is no minerals for any of the heavy minerals that we are having. 20, right? In Limpopo, in Mpumalang, in Gauteng, not a single closure certificate was issued, despite there having been many mines that were closed. And I can say in your provinces like Northwest, I mean, Free State and others is one. The other one is two. I think Northern Cape is two, because I think the two others were Northern Cape and so on and so on. So that should tell you the flagrant and universal non-compliance. And it is that, right, institutionalized illegality of a properly licensed big mining monopoly that is a real reason that we are in this crisis. That consists in this fact. One, you have mines that are not properly sealed. There is the holes are not properly sealed. The environment is not adequately rehabilitated for alternative productive uses. But it's not just mines that get abandoned. It's workers and communities.
Mm.
So part of the reason they can't comply with the requirement for closure is the fact that they've also not invested and complied with their social and labor development plan.
Yes.
Right? That means that there must be one of it you know, training workers, you know, training skills other than what they require for industry. But also, part of it is that there's no investment in economic development of this community. And all of this is part of what you're having in this country. It's a colonial mining. And what are the key features of that? The key features of that is colonial extractivism, where the big mining, predominantly foreign-owned multinational company corporations that have monopolized the mining industry in this country, take the minerals and plunder them in this country and ship them off raw as they are without any investment in their beneficiation locally, which could have created other and alternative industries that would build a resilient local economy that can be able to support communities in transitioning to sustainable post-mining and communities in the inevitable event of closure. Right,
Mr. Sway,
so
let me
that
just,
is the logic of the situation.
Let me just put this in perspective and maybe ask you to elaborate a bit more on this. There are mines that have been operating for, and this is not an exaggeration, for about 100 years. And the communities have not even got a school or a clinic as is required. As you said, you know, for their own social development and so on, as you apply for a mining license, even though, you know, it would be renewed over that 100-year period. You know, part of the requirement is that you also develop this environment, but they don't. And so why is it that if it's so logical that as a requirement for a mining company to operate in this community, you are asked to do 1, 2, 3, and in the end, at the end of its lifespan, or at the end of your own business lifespan, you just simply close it. Why is it that government doesn't seem to be eager to enforce these laws, which are there?
Well, that is because, you see, the South African, the modern South African state, in reality and primarily is a mining capitalist state. Since the Anglo-Boer War, when the British imperialism intervened in the constitution of the state formation in the interest of the mining capital, the colonial government that followed, the apartheid regime that followed, and unfortunately, the black majority ANC-led government assumed the leadership of that whole political economic architecture that is centered around a facilitation of accumulation of capital on what you call the mineral energy on the mineral energy complex, where the whole architecture of the political economy is to support those interests at the expense of communities, at the expense of the working class. And next aspect, if you are not sure about that, the events of Marikana, where this government, right, where this government attempted to drown in blood the struggles of the mine workers who elevated them to power in the struggle against apartheid. The one section of the working class where the current billionaire president, all of his fortune, right, they drowned the struggle of those workers in blood in defense of the profit of those same mining corporations that are plundering the economy, the minerals, and the land of this country with an absolute impunity. And the figures speak for themselves. Look, last year, the turnover for the entire industry was 1.1 trillion. A year before that is 1.2 trillion. Now, these are the figures from the Mineral Council of South Africa. And they are dubious, by the way, because when you go to United Nations Convention on Trade and Development, it shows this country is losing about 1.1 trillion in illicit financial flows, many of which, according to Oxfam, are actually in the mining industry. So, in fact, our trading partners are reporting they're receiving three times more mineral than we are actually exporting because of the missing voice and other things. But let's accept their figures for a second. Let's accept this figure. 1.1 trillion
in a turnover. Of that, the primary sale of the mineral was 782 billion. And when you look at the export makes 780.5, meaning only one, less than about 1.5 billion of 782 billion worth of minerals were actually sold in this country. And we can guess where they went. It's mainly coal to Eskom. So all of these minerals are shipped off raw as they are out of the country. And of this money that they've generated from the mining in this country, right? They paid 160 billion in all sorts of taxes, royalties, 180 billion in wages, and only pitiful 4.9 billion. So, debt district, 4.9 billion was spent on community development out of the industry turnover of 1.1 trillion. How criminal is that?
I have to, you know, we probably need more time because you have really touched on many things that we'd like to elaborate, but elaborate on. But just quickly, your sense of what is actually happening right now with Stilfontein. It's still, again, I repeat that it's an uncomfortable question. Even when you ask authorities about, but we're not talking about the mine owners. Why is that? And I know you've explained it broadly, but when you look at what's happening in Stilfontein, I'm totally struck by how in the entire conversation that officials are having, no one's talking about the mine owner.
It is the corporate impunity of the mining monopolies I was talking about. The extent of it is just shocking. You know, someone told me that when you go to DMRE, even the receptionist at the DMRE see that post as a stepping stone to a real career in the mining. Mm. So that is your receptionist all the way to top excellence of that department. The idea that these are people that are going to hold the mining industry accountable is just not realistic. Mm. Now, what ought to be happening in Stilfontein? There's a simple issue, right? I've spoken to, I personally believe that the mining industry must be brought under public ownership, and we've got to find ways in which we can beneficiate the minerals in this country in order to reindustrialize the country and create the millions of jobs we need to end unemployment, poverty that is today reaching the disparate levels of hunger and starvation that is forcing people in this horrific conditions of hazardous work that nobody, not even artisanal miners, wish to be doing. So let's be clear about that. So how do we address the immediate situation pending that total conditions and struggle? What do we need to do? The realities of these abandoned mines is real, right? Mm-hmm. And you have lots of these millions of people that are disparate around these mines, and many of them have been forced to do artisanal mining. So you've got to find ways in which you can regularize the industry. And regularizing it is not only about ending criminalization of it and the poverty that creates its condition. It's also about finding ways in which we can be able to support that industry with regard to access to capital as well as the market. Because without that, and this is what our research report has found, without that, what will end up happening is that the organized criminal syndicates have stepped into that vacuum. And the reign of terror that we hear about from our community, the rapes, the murders, and so on and so on, is this organized criminality that is terrorizing first and foremost the artisanal miners themselves, their families, their community, in order to extort the sale of this mineral that they want to monopolize and sell through illicit a network of illicit trading on minerals, with, in respect of which, by the way, they have the collaboration of the tops of the police, because the idea that these poor mine workers will transport gold from Stilfontein to the ports without the police being involved, that's not realistic. But also, them being able to sell them to markets in Britain, Europe, US, because there's no black markets for minerals in this country. These minerals, like all the minerals, end up internationally. And you can't sell them in those markets without license. Who has that license in this country is a big company. So it is very clear that there is that level of collaboration. Now, by the state providing support with regard to access to Tibetan, not only will we ensure that people have a safe equipment with which to do the work, as well as be able to earn a decent living to support their families and their communities, but also by, of course, support with regard to market. I mean, in Zim, we can say what it is. They have what you call, I think it's a fidelity refinery gold, which is a sole buyer, right, of minerals in that country. You can create a state buyer of these artisanal mining minerals.
Mm-hmm.
As we have done before with regard to the agriculture for small white farmers under apartheid in the form of those agricultural boards and cooperatives, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that they can sell their minerals there, and through that state entity, you are then able to sell them internationally. That way, you're going to be cutting the lifeline of the organized criminals that are terrorizing our communities, plunging them into horrific levels of violence that nobody should be able to wish for the people that they love. As for the big mining industry, we just have to minimize this industry, make sure we benefit the minerals, and of course bring about the real development that can end poverty and unemployment.
Sure. Mr. Sibe, I appreciate your time. Really, thank you so much for all of that. He's a lawyer at Lawyers for Human Rights. When I come back, David van Wyk, we've heard from him before, but I want to talk to him about Lily Mine. Yesterday, we spoke about Lily Mine with, in fact, it was 2 days ago with Herman Mashaba, and they had asked to be granted permission to bring up the three miners that are still there, Solomon Nyerenda, Priti Ngambule, and Yvonne Mnisi. They were waiting for that approval, but we are told by the Minister of Mineral and Energy that, you know, that has been approved. But we'll get more details. I don't think it's as black and white as we seem to think it is. Well, thank you so much for staying with us. And now you'll remember David van Wyk. We've spoken to many, many times about mining issues in this country. He's a mining expert, and he often gives us more clarity than what's on the paper sometimes. And so we thought, let's bring him in. David, thank you so much for your patience, for your time, and thank you so much for being here with us.
Thank you for having us on the show, and a very interesting discussion that you had before me.
Yeah. You know, do you want to add a little bit to that, David? Because I'm sure we're all watching, and I think I get the feeling all of us are watching nervously. How do you feel about what we're seeing?
Oh, yes, I'm finding it very concerning that the police have today basically blocked the community from getting access to that shaft, because yesterday the High Court actually instructed the police to allow these mine workers to exit unhindered. You know, so now there's a tussle between the courts and the police, and who is supreme? Is the law supreme or is the police supreme? And we must be careful, because we can very easily degenerate into a police state situation like we were under apartheid. You know, we cannot have ministers and so on defying the court of the country. If the court has made a pronouncement, then people should abide by the court. You know, for me, this is very worrying. And especially that it is being done in an industry which seems to be able to dictate to government what to do and when to do it. You know, the first turning moment in our history was Marikana, when the bosses in London said, shoot those workers, and the next day the workers were shot. Now, in this particular case, I wonder what pressure the industry is bringing to bear on the government with regard to these miners that are in that particular shaft, but also ignoring, of course, the fact that these miners are super exploited and actually employed by syndicates and so on. And we gradually getting the picture that some of these syndicates might actually involve the mining industry itself.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that the chilling fact? Because, again, I want to hear your perspective on this. I'm just thinking it's quite strange that nobody seems to be even a mention of the people that actually left that mine abandoned.
Yes, you know, we've been saying for years now that we should not abandon mines. You know, we've been talking about the 6,000 mines that have been closed since 2010, 2012, 2013 onwards, you know, and we've seen new mining licenses issued, for example, Central Rand Gold in Johannesburg, and they left a huge big gaping hole. They got the license in 2010, and they abandoned the mine in 2018. You know, so that's not, you know, the mine abandonment is not just an apartheid thing. It's something that's continuously happening even now, and shaft abandonment and so on as well. You know, when a mine says that it's retrenching 5,000 or 6,000 workers at an operation, it means it's closing that shaft down. But it's not necessarily rehabilitating it. They say that they are putting it under care and maintenance. And care and maintenance is not actually a legal term. It's not actually something that is recognized in our law. You know, care and maintenance means they are walking away from it systematically, and they're allowing people to plunder the operation. And you will see people coming in, stripping the buildings and so on, which buildings should actually be handed over to the local community and to the state for alternative economic purposes. But, you know, we very soon just see ruins around the mine.
So how do you think this is going to end?
Well, I think that there's immense pressure being exerted by the media and so on, and I'm very glad that the media has focused on this issue as intensely as they have. You know, because without media focus, there's no pressure. You know, without a public outcry, there's no pressure. You know, we are responsible for our leaders. You know, our leaders do whatever they can get away with and what we allow them to get away with. And if we don't allow them to get away with shenanigans, then we will have a proper state.
Now, let's talk about the Lily Mine, which I think is an interesting story, because we're almost 9 years in now, where families have been literally camping outside, trying to get the bodies of their family members to be brought up again. And it's been chilling to watch how often you would find during anniversaries, you have political, you know, people go there, principals going there and promising that, yes, we understand. And the minute they leave, family members tell you, no, they actually don't even talk to us. They don't even greet us. They do this for the cameras. When you leave, they leave with you. And that's the end of that. What do you make of now this approval, Section 11, that, yes, the DMRE has said there now has been approval to bring them up again. And in fact, they're very eager for this to happen quickly, for the business rescue practitioners to get on with it. This process will be done by end of July. And as soon as that's done, the mining will be operating again.
Well, I think that there's a number of factors here which are very important to note. That's a very old mine. It's one of the oldest mines in the country. It started off as an open cast mine, and then eventually it went underground. It's in a very bad seismic area that's full of faults, and therefore it's very unstable. It's also full of water. It's a very water-rich area there. And that those are all the causes that caused the mine to collapse in the first place.
Yes.
The other thing is that the DMRE is issuing mining licenses on old mines to strip pillars, to do pillar strip mining. What is known in the industry as pillar strip mining. Now, what caused the collapse of that mine was that the central pillar on levels 3 and 4, or 4 and 5, was stripped down to the point where they actually collapsed. Causing the first, second, and third, fourth levels to collapse downwards. And that's why the people who were in the container above ground actually fell down into the hole with the collapse of the mine. Now, they're fortunate that the collapse ended at level 5, because otherwise hundreds of workers would have been killed. Now, as I understand it, level 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 were no longer mined, but that there were ghost workers operating there. And we have to distinguish between ghost workers and zamazamas, because I don't see how people get into an operational mine and operate in the disused areas of the mine, extracting gold and weakening pillars and so on, without management being aware of it. You know, there are only limited number of entry points into a mine. You know, there's the ventilation shafts, and then, of course, in this case, an incline shaft that workers walk down in every day to get to their workstations and so on. You know, so these people must have walked in past security with everyone else. You know, if there were ghost workers that did strip those pillars. But my advice on this particular mine is it shouldn't be reopened at all. They should get the bodies out. Yes, I agree with that. But they shouldn't start production at this mine again. This mine is highly unstable. It's in a very, very insecure geological area. And you can have this the same result again, you know, because basically the only gold that remains in that mine is in the pillars. You know, they did bore and pillar mining, and it's like you at an underground parking under the Carlton Center and you start stripping the pillars. The whole building is going to collapse on top of you. That is what pillar strip mining is. You know, you are stripping the pillars that hold up the roof in an area that's geologically very unstable in any case. You know, so I think it's a bit of a competition between Minister Mantashe and the leader of Action SA, Herman Mashaba, to a political point score to see who is going to be Superman to get the containers out and then also bring jobs to the people through that mine. If I was in that community, I wouldn't go work near that mine. That mine is a death trap.
Sure. Appreciate you giving us that perspective. David van Wyk, mining expert. Yeah, as I said, I think there are issues here that we need to peel away. And I think David has done a pretty good job at doing that. So thank you so much for that, David. When we come back, Ntabi Singh Dubasana is here.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.